Welcome back to the We Don't Know Sports Podcast. Chad the Mark with
GFR, baby.
Freaking Rawlings. And returning from parts unknown,
Mongo.
So if you guys are regular listeners, you hear me and Greg all the time. But Mongo, you are a transient individual, a wanderer, but honestly, nobody heard us last week because we had tornadoes.
Yes.
And we have tornado warnings. Again, we're in central West Virginia, right outside of Charleston, but it's tornado watcher warning tonight.
Tonight's the less serious one of the two.
So that would be a warrant watch, right?
Warning's like it's happening. Yeah.
So you're watching for it. But anyway, we're out here doing the podcast with a tree on the man cave's roof. And the wind and the door open and the rain coming down, and we're just sitting here having a beverage or two and enjoying life.
We're waiting. What time is it? We got about 2 more hours on the tornado watch, so we're just watching for 2 more hours.
It's the final countdown.
But like, yes, just to elaborate on our area here, we probably get a tornado, what, every 15 years?
That's probably generous.
But then, like, I was out of town for spring break, and our phones started going crazy, and everybody started calling me. We got tornadoes at touchdown. And, like, that don't happen with our mountains.
You don't believe it.
No, I didn't.
You don't believe it.
It's like 2020 election night, though. They're still adding tornadoes to the count.
Right. It's 100% what it's right.
Yeah.
I think we're up to 8 now.
16.
16? Is that a real number? Or are you just saying that to see if I believe your bullshit?
16.
What pissed me off is I'm thinking it's going to be the worst because we pass a massive trailer park when we come here to the cave. And it was all perfectly fine. There's not any damage that came up my road that wasn't apparently that strong here, except for the tree that falls on the man cave.
The one isolated tree. If anything, some of the refuse wood and timber in the tree canopy when you drive out the road got blown out. So now you don't have to worry about that shit falling in your car anymore. There was like logs hanging in the branches. Mines. And finally, a good storm came by and got rid of them, so I don't have to have fears of it stabbing me through the windshield.
It almost sounds like we have a portal right to the Amazon here on DuPont Road.
That's exactly what it is.
Well,
if someone had a portal to the Amazon, it probably would be DuPont.
Yeah,
They have the technology. Mm-hmm. But I was not as lucky in my area, although my house had minimal damage. Old Cross Vegas, Cross Lanes, home of the dog track. Used to be Tri-State Greyhound Park. Roof, roof. Remember that?
Cross Vegas.
But anyway, Cross Vegas had a EF2. Now, why is it EF? I thought it was
F2.
Yeah, like the Fujinama scale or something. Fujiyama?
I believe Twister more than anything else you'll hear on the news.
You know what it is? We're just, you know what they're doing? They're cloud seeding, making this happen as a promotion for Twisters.
I bet.
The unwanted sequel no one asked for that comes out.
I saw the preview when I was at the movies a few weeks ago.
So you're stoked for it now?
I mean, I was going to watch it anyway, just for nostalgia reasons.
Not the theaters, though, right?
Oh, yeah.
You're going to go to the theaters and watch it?
We got free tickets.
Hell yeah.
It's free, brother.
I will say,
I wonder if a cow blows away in this one.
Oh, they probably have two cows.
Two cows this time.
Two cows.
They're not the same cow.
Yeah.
I mean, probably not.
The last one was delicious.
It was the same cow last time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My wife gets mad at me because we'll be watching movies, and if it's something from like the 80s or the 90s and it's got like a dog in it, I'll be like, man, that dog's been dead a long time. And she's like, why you got to bring it up like that? You good?
Yeah, he's got a buzz on his phone.
He's just seamlessly charged.
No.
Oh, it's from laying it on the power cord. That's why the buzz.
No, I was just turning the volume off.
We're good.
He's
a busy guy. His phone will blow up any time, but irregardless of the tornado going on, but we're just enjoying life. So we missed it last week. Everybody's safe and sound. We're all good. But I feel like a lot of shit is going on in the world of sports, and I don't even know where to start.
I know where to start.
I was going to say,
I
just want to get some things out just to make sure you guys litmus test me here. Make sure we come back to this. The Masters is going on. We had WrestleMania. Baseball season's in full swing now. We had Final Four, March Madness, women's. I mean, it's a lot of stuff, right? So where do you want to start?
All right. So I told Brad this off the air, but I'm going to double down because I feel like it's warranted in this situation. I've never seen a person pass away and everyone immediately pile on their grave and was like, screw him. You know, I'm glad he's dead. And, like, there's people that's doing that. There's no too soon for OJ. So, RIP OJ, Nordberg, I loved him in Naked Gun. But my God, maybe we can finally rest and, you know, the killer is finally dead.
So it is the day that O.J. Simpson has passed away at the age of 76.
I didn't know he was that bad with cancer.
I didn't either. But I guess, you know, he's not one to probably try to be in the public eye anymore.
I mean, you got to be a piece of shit for the public not to be like at least have a window of like condolences before it's not too soon.
I don't know, man. I feel like the internet's just.
Yeah, it's gotten to that point.
It's ruthless anymore. Like, remember when those people died in the tin can? You know, yeah, going to the bottom
pretty,
of it. Like,
pretty bad. But then the narrative there was that they were dumb millionaires, billionaires, and
it doesn't matter.
They could have been down there anyway.
Right? So that's what I'm saying. They don't got no chill. So you know they ain't got no chill for OJ. But I do have a couple comments on our social media that's popped up, and it was just like, I don't know why everybody's piling on a man who is proven innocent. Like, are you being serious, bro? I'm not even engaging in that conversation.
There's a difference between proven innocent and not found guilty.
That is true. Absolutely. That is true. And he did pay a little bit of a hefty civil trial case.
He did.
How does that work? How can you be found not guilty of killing someone, and then the civil, they can find you liable for $100 million or whatever it was? It probably wasn't that. It was probably like $10 million. But hey, in the 90s, that was a lot of money.
It doesn't, I think in a civil trial, it doesn't have to be like 100%. It doesn't have to be beyond a shadow of a doubt.
Does a judge or a jury rule in a civil trial?
It can be either.
Okay. How does that get decided? I need educated on this, and Mongo is going to do it on our podcast right now.
I think the lawyers make the.
They have to agree with it. Yeah. The judge has to agree and that type of thing.
Yep.
Don't solicit us for legal.
Well,
advice.
So. I mean, we can keep talking legal if you want, but I do have a question about the juice. Let's talk about, whatever you felt about him, he's passed away, so RIP. But the fact is, where do we rank him as far as college level, pro level? Was he top 10 in either one in your eyes?
No. Yeah. I mean, he was a great running back for the time, and he had 2,000-yard season when he played for the Bills. He was the 70s NCAA athlete of the year or decade, right. I think.
Where do you go to college at? USC?
USC.
Yeah, I thought.
Yeah.
Am I wrong that he's the only person to do it in 14 games?
Yeah, because Eric Dickerson did it, but that was much later.
Yeah.
Which they were probably at 16 then, I would imagine. Yeah, that was the 80s. But somebody was like, OJ Simpson, I don't know who that is. And I was looking it up for the first time today. Man, dude averaged 140 a game.
147.
What a legend. Like, that's what they're going to. That's not what you get when you Google it, kids. No. Not that dumb.
No.
But he was a hell of a football player. But OJ Simpson's like Chris Benoit. Like, you just don't talk about him.
Yeah.
You don't acknowledge the game anymore because the tragic events outweigh the accomplishments on the field. And, you know, I think the fact it happened before any of us were alive, you know, we're just like, I'm not missing it. I don't feel like there's a void in my life from not having OJ Simpson highlights.
What about
still
Naked
be the
Gun?
Highlights?
I miss him from Naked Gun.
Never chosen.
Nordberg.
No, Nordberg.
All three Naked Guns.
Yep. It is pretty, the internet's pretty crazy because they're already talking about how the white Bronco needs to be his hearse.
Yeah, that might have been on our social media page.
So, I mean, whatever. Yeah, I mean, it could happen.
I mean, OJ's been a joke for a long time. It sucks whenever somebody passes away, but if you most likely killed your ex-wife and her new lover, you're getting less sympathy from most folks, I'd say.
Yep, I agree.
Yeah.
They did away with the Bronco name for a long time.
All because of that. It was tarnished. Yeah. But I feel like now, like if you're rocking a white Bronco like that, everybody's turning their head. Everybody's looking. They're like, damn, he's got a white Bronco.
The Broncos look good.
How much do you think of what year would that have been? Like a 94, 93? Do they still make them?
We were in high school.
I remember watching middle school. I was middle school for sure.
Oh, seventh grade.
Because I remember this girl in our class was like, praise Jesus, he's innocent.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
You don't remember that?
No.
I'm not even getting into the names.
I feel like I already know who. Starts with an S. We got piled into the cafeteria.
The dialect you spoke with there.
Wait, we got piled into the cafeteria, and I remember they brought the monitor out, like the TV.
They rolled out the TV, which is generally reserved for teachers' hangovers.
Yeah, like, we're going to watch Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego? Not today. It's O.J. Simpson. And man, that trial, how long did that last?
Like decades. Like my whole seventh grade year.
There was nothing like it before then. Nothing like it since.
I did have a thing saved in my reading list about O.J. Simpson fast facts, just to see if you guys knew all these. Man, that rain's coming down. I don't know if they can hear it on the podcast because we're going to clean that audio up. But
if we can't clean it up, let's just put a soft hint of just like the rain from Clint Black.
Now like rain, we're going to listen to the rain.
That'd be good. Just a little bit there in the background.
Just like the rain. As our listeners can take a nap.
Yes.
We're going to turn into NPR if we're not careful. But I don't care. It's not about the listeners right now. It's about me and enjoying the sound of the rain. But O.J. Simpson, he was born in California, so he stayed out there for college, USC. You know, he does have children. So, like, I just wonder what that relationship – I have no idea. He might be estranged. Maybe they're like, we believe you. I don't know. Do you know?
I got to think. I've seen a lot of people with shitty parents, and he might have been a great dad. He might have just been, you know, like a murderer and a thief. But, like, to his kids, he could have been great. So,
maybe. Anyhow, he won the Heisman in 68. He played from the Bills from 69 to 77. 1970, he was voted the College Football Player of the Decade by ABC Sports. 72 to 76, made the Pro Bowl every year. His first acting gig, 1974, The Towering Inferno. That was a big budget 70s movie.
Yeah.
Did you guys know from 78 to 79, he played for a different team besides Buffalo?
The Chargers? Why did I think that?
It's not a horrible guess.
Browns?
No, it was the San Francisco 49ers.
Wow. Really?
Wow.
Yeah.
Right before their dynasty got kicked off.
All right. And then after football, 84 to 85, he was a commentator on ABC's Monday Night Football. 85, they put him in the Hall of Fame. 88, begins his career playing the wonderful accident-prone detective in the Naked Gun movies. And then 1994 is when they found his ex-wife and Ron Goldman. And then it says the LAPD questioned Simpson for 3 hours the next day. And then they let him go. And then the chase happened they charged him on the 17th. So they waited like 3 or 4 days before they actually charged him.
But what a time to be alive.
It was, man. It was everywhere. Like I feel like court TV got invented because of the Simpson trial. He pled not guilty, blah, blah, blah. We know all about the trial. He was, the Goldmans filed a wrongful death suit against him. That was the civil case. God, it went from January. They selected the jury on November 3rd, 1994, and the defense didn't rest until September 29th, 1995.
So your eighth grade year.
Yep. October 95. That's when it finally ended. And then October 23rd, they kicked off the civil trial the next year. So dude was just like mired in court controversies. And then he had the whole thing afterwards. What was it? Somebody stole all his, he said they stole his memorabilia and he went and took it back.
Right. Right.
They, like, robbed him in a Vegas hotel room.
He did time for that. Didn't he?
He did. Do you think that was one of those things where they were just trying to like make a point? Like, we're giving you time because we know about some other thing.
Yeah. It's kind of like when the ref misses the call and then they just,
it's a makeup call.
Yeah. It's a makeup call.
I don't know. I mean, what he did was pretty bad. I think it was armed robbery essentially in a hotel room. They like have some hired guns. Greg freaking Rawlings has vacated the podcast because we have consequential flooding happening inside the man cave now. Are you getting swept away over there?
I'm using popsicle sticks. I'm starting with that.
I thought maybe you just spilled a lot of beers all of a sudden.
That's urine.
That's even worse.
Yeah.
Thanks for clearing that one up.
Can't keep up with that drink.
I don't think anything you're going to do is going to stop this from doing what it's doing. I know, but there's like too much water. It's just going to keep coming. It just comes off the hillside in here. Just wrecks shit, walks away. All that nice stuff I said about having the door open and enjoying the rain, and now we're going to be flooded.
If there's a jellyfish in here, though, you guys are safe. I got you.
Are there such thing as freshwater jellyfish?
I don't know. Are there?
I'm asking. Is that like something I should be alarmed of?
I feel like you're the guy that would know.
I feel like there might be. I feel like I might have seen that somewhere in a previous life. But, man, we had a big get-together for WrestleMania, and you didn't make it, Mongo.
No, I was cutting trees.
It's still in the aftermath of the tornadoes.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. I just needed to get a lot of stuff done after I came back from Green Bay. Green Bay is wild. Like it's kind of a small town, and everybody up there, any move that they make in free agency, a trade, anything that happens, everybody in town is talking about it.
So it's a religion there.
It is.
Or is it more like a cult?
Yes.
So how did you feel being a Bears fan navigating the mean streets of Green Bay?
You know what? I had the courage to tell one fan that I was a Bears fan.
Just one?
Just one.
And how many days into your walking in the wilderness did you do this?
It was probably a weekend. And
so it took you a week before you could muster up the strength and say, I'm a Bears fan.
Yeah, I was sitting at a bar. The guy asked me, well, who's your team? And I'm like, I don't think that's a good idea. And he's like, oh, no, you're a Bears fan.
So they knew. They didn't go to Vikings or Lions. They knew right away it was right Bears. So how do they treat you?
They were kind of nice.
I figured it'd be like full of pity.
Since they own us and all.
Right. I mean, like, they're just looking at you like, oh.
Yeah.
You're still trying.
It's like the rest of the NFL looked at the Lions.
Not anymore.
That's true.
Not anymore.
It'll be different this year.
It's how we look at Chicago.
Yep.
It's how we all look at the Bears now. Who do you feel like is your equivalent franchise?
In another division?
Or just in the NFL or even another sport. Who are the Bears to you? Who do you think your comps are?
I know one.
I want to hear what he says first.
Carolina Panthers.
I can see it. But I feel like it lasts the historical aspect to make it appreciative even more. What were you going to say?
The Raiders.
The Raiders?
They haven't won since 83.
Yeah, but.
And, I mean, they're right there.
But they
make the franchises who've done nothing currently.
I feel like the Raiders.
25 years.
I feel like the Raiders make the playoffs on the regular, though.
They do not, man, bro. Where you been? The last 15 years, we probably made it 4 times.
How many times have the Bears made it?
They've made it a few more times than the Raiders have.
I'm having, for some reason, an impression.
Believe me, I know the Raiders don't make it.
I believe you. But I feel like the Raiders are always that. Maybe it's just they're always like a 500 team.
They're lucky to get out on a wild card. Remember that one time they actually looked good and Carr like broke his back or whatever?
Yeah.
And that ruined their only chance of winning a playoff game.
Broke his back.
That was the saddest playoff team I'd ever seen after he got hurt.
It was. It was like, just put them out of their misery. It was like, take old Yeller out back.
I mean, so Cutler took him to the playoffs.
Cutler?
Jay Cutler
took him.
Oh, the Bears. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, not your Raiders.
I was like, man, we didn't want him on our team.
Rex Grossman took him to the playoffs. They have
Marcus Tuiasosopo.
That's right.
Kyle Orton took them to the playoffs.
My God. Imagine if you just had a good quarterback once.
Hurry, get that Nightcrawler fishing. Oh, nope. Down the drain.
What happened?
We had a big Nightcrawler for
Nightcrawler went down the drain.
Yeah. That's what we got floating around here in the studio right now.
Man, it's definitely to the right. I keep trying to like wiggle my toes to see if my socks are wet.
So I found out a weird fact today about mermaids since we're underwater now. Apparently when Christopher Columbus came here, he was convinced that manatees were mermaids when he seen them for the first time because they don't have those in Europe. And he said they're nothing like they were in the books. They're very masculine.
That's fantastic.
Did you know that?
It makes sense. You know, have you ever seen how like angels are described in the Bible versus like what people think they look like?
No.
I mean, they're like the things of horror, like 20,000 eyes. And I mean,
creepy.
You got like, you want to get some exciting visuals, go, you can tell whoever wrote that part of the Bible definitely had some psychedelic mushrooms beforehand. But the point is, what they were described is not what we transcribe. So maybe mermaids were manatees all along, and Columbus is right. We just did a really bad job explaining it to people.
Lost in translation.
Yeah, I like that.
You ever been on hornymanatee.com?
Can't say that I have. No. Now I'm intrigued.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not sure whether to judge that statement as it's a real website and he already knows it's one, or he just came up with that off the cuff.
So no, it may still be up, but it may
experience.
If you've got a fetish. No, somebody came up with it.
I believe you.
It was on the Conan O'Brien show years ago.
Okay.
He joked about the website, and then somebody made the website.
I like Conan.
Yeah.
Conan's good people.
I always liked watching him. I feel like 10, 12 years ago, late night when I was working nights, I'd get home and I'd watch Conan, and it was a good night.
Yeah. Conan, because he's just self-deprecating humor, yeah. Just didn't care. And he's a big giant ginger.
Yes. Yeah.
That's always funny.
Yeah.
I didn't mention this at the beginning. We were talking about just crazy stuff that was going on. I saw that our economy lost $100 billion because we all wanted to stare at the sun for 5 minutes. The eclipse. Did you get excited for the eclipse?
I did not.
But when you were talking about Christopher Columbus, it made me think of the eclipse, because that's what he told all the people in Haiti was, if you don't give me all your food to bring back to my king, I'm going to block out the sun. Because he was such a good navigator, he had knowledge of, you know, astronomy, and
didn't know this.
Yeah. So whenever the eclipse happened, he's like, I told you. And they're like, okay, fine, take our food. And he's like, thank God I only had another 3 minutes of that. But
I will now move the sun. I'll move the moon.
Now we go to where we just all stand outside and stare at it like dummies.
Yep.
I was disappointed. We were not in the path of totality. We were like in the 92% range, and it barely felt like I couldn't visually see any difference.
Things just look weird. If you're not looking at the sun,
it just looked like it was 5 hours later in the day than it was.
Yeah.
It was odd. I don't know. Do you get excited for events like that?
Sometimes.
I do too. I mean, if I know it's going to be like a complete blackout, I'd have been more excited than where I knew we weren't here. I didn't get too excited.
I saw where like some dudes were like driving 10 hours, getting the full line, and it'd be like cloudy as hell. Like they wasted all this money and effort and energy. And like hotel prices along the path of totality increased as it got closer.
That's pretty impressive, supply and demand there.
Yeah, but I did see a couple of Major League Baseball stadiums had pretty good crowds there. A lot of teams were taking batting practice.
The Reds, I think, did one?
Yeah, Jonathan India got hurt because he couldn't see.
Judging by his stats, I don't think he's seen for a while.
Well, he's been looking at the – maybe he needs to cut the hair. Yeah. Maybe he's the opposite of Samson.
I was tired of baby Jesus, and then he had the –
He's Jack Sparrow.
Jack Sparrow. That's just one not working for me.
Mongo, what would your walk-up music be for baseball?
What did Tiger Blood walk into?
Tiger Blood.
He's talking about Charlie Sheen. Did you come out the Wild Thing?
Yeah. Nah.
Lame.
No, it would probably be like Pavarotti, something like that.
That's all right. Joey Votto would come out to Jolene.
Enrico Palazzo. That's what it would be. That's 100% what
it would be like.
That's a great theme. That is an iconic theme too. That'd be a good one. They should have umpires come out.
Yeah, I still remember as a kid watching that, and they see the car driving through the women's shower, and you got to see some titty, and you're like, yes.
Oh.
And you're like 10 years old watching this, you're like, this made my night.
I feel like in the 70s and 80s, all comedy movies had to show boobs.
Yeah.
Like, that's the only way, like, that's how they'd get the
young.
This
is an opening credits. Remember that police car is driving around?
Like, you knew what you were getting in for right away.
Like, I knew I had to be there at the beginning because I was like, I can't miss the titties.
You know what it is? It's them, like, we got to put this in the movie. So if people don't want to watch it, they can find out within 5 minutes and walk out, because if they sit for the whole movie, they're really not going to like it if they don't like that.
Yeah, people think like the movies are cleaner. It's in all of them.
I love this part. This is just one of my favorite parts, the non-baseball part, okay?
All right.
he's there and he's down there trying to investigate, and old girl's up on the ladder and he's like, nice beaver. And she's like, thanks, I just had it stuffed.
There's all kinds of, they keep handing stuff down. And yeah. Just, yeah, that's good stuff. You know who that actress is?
I do. It's Elvis is something.
Yeah, Priscilla Presley.
There you go.
It's his old lady.
There you go.
Old Priscilla.
She was hot in that movie.
She was. Elvis, you know, he could pull a nice man.
It's just funny. She's trying to hang out with him. Oh, Leslie Nielsen.
Yep.
That's now her match.
How do you feel about them remaking The Naked Gun?
I don't like it.
Are they remaking it?
Are you serious? You're not aware of this?
No.
Do you know who the title character is being played by?
I don't know.
Why I said title character.
Main character.
He's not called The Naked Gun.
I don't like it.
You know who it is?
Yeah.
Come on, guess. Who, if you could recast The Naked Gun for the year 2024,
who would be Lieutenant Frank Drebin?
Who do you want?
Don't do it. Don't tell me it's Will Ferrell.
No.
Okay.
I think the Will Ferrell ship has sailed. I think he's done. He's like a cameo guy at best now.
I still love seeing his old clips where he made people break character on Saturday night.
Oh, yeah.
They couldn't hold it together. I watched that today. But who else?
I would pay money.
What if I told you he's not American?
Jim Jeffries.
And what if I told you he's not funny?
Oh, I disagree. I think he usually just doesn't portray funny roles, but he can be funny.
All right. He's Chad funny.
Let's see who we got. Who we got?
He will find you, and he will ask
you. You are kidding me.
See what I'm saying?
It's Liam Neeson, buddy.
That don't even compute for me.
No.
From me personally.
No. They should have. I mean, Christopher Walken's older, but I mean, he's still alive. I could have went for that.
Nah, it's Liam Neeson. Like, Liam Neeson can be funny, but the funny Liam Neeson is when he's still acting like Liam Neeson.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think they could have picked about 15 different people better than him.
All right, so who would you cast instead? Do you have anybody? But I'm with you. Like, just don't make the movie.
Yeah.
Just make a new movie.
Yeah.
Just make something else.
Yeah. Yep.
Like, remember when they made the Tough Guys? You know, that's a funny cop movie. You make your own thing.
Yep.
Or the other.
I mean, if it don't have to be like, if it don't have to be like an old guy. I mean, if you're just making a new character of the same movie, like same Lieutenant Frank Drebin, but does it have to be like an old white man?
No. Be anything.
I mean, I think Jack Black would be hilarious.
I saw where he is in another movie coming up, and I can't remember what it was. I remember got briefly excited.
Old dude from
Jack Black's a treasure.
Also, old dude from The Hangover.
Zach Galifianakis.
I could see a Police Academy sequel where like Shaq is Hightower.
Yeah.
You know, how many Police Academies did they make?
Six?
I think it's seven.
Seven. I heard this on the radio actually last week.
Was it like Fox Sports Radio or something they were talking about?
No, this was FM radio.
Oh, I feel like I heard this too recently.
Seven.
How is Police Academy and Steve Guttenberg still relevant?
Is he alive? Is Steve Guttenberg alive?
You remember the girl's name on there?
The one with the mousy voice?
Yeah, and the vibrant blonde hair, I believe.
Bobcat Goldthwait.
Yeah, he was in there. I don't remember. He was.
Did you say Goldplate?
Goldthwait.
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 Can you do does anybody in 2024 know who Bobcat is besides us?
I don't think so.
You know who he is?
I love him.
The voice.
Yes.
He just always sounds like he's straining.
I remember him as Scrooge.
Yeah. So Bobcat.
Any of his stand-up?
I definitely have, but I don't remember it.
So I'm going to back up the mic a little bit here. There's one where he comes out onto the stage and he's going, just making his noises. He's like, it was really tough going on a date. I'm here to pick up your daughter.
That was not a bad impression. It's not as good as old boy from Independence Day.
Yeah.
But you're getting there. What was his name?
Oh, David. David. Why am I calling my mother? Why did I send my mother to Atlanta?
Oh, yeah. You made that movie too. Why is it so bad that all we can do is just remake movies?
So I heard the Ghostbusters was good.
The new one?
Yeah. Did you hear otherwise?
I've heard mixed bag.
So I've heard it was good. And then we have Beetlejuice coming up, Twister's coming up,
so Beetlejuice,
and then Gremlins coming up.
Beetlejuice, I'm okay with. And I think because it's Beetlejuice seems like they're going to keep it to what it was. Like, I don't think they're going to try to reinvent the wheel. I think the fact that it's most of the original cast, yeah, that makes some difference.
It's most of the original cast, only they have Lydia's got the daughter, which is
Jenna Ortega.
Yeah, but
the Wednesday girl.
Did you realize that, you know, the mom from Home Alone's in there?
Yeah,
Catherine. But the dad's not. I didn't realize he got in trouble.
Yeah, you don't know. That's why he was chasing Ferris Bueller all that time.
Yeah, and now I know. That's why they're not recasting him.
Yeah, he just died. I think
I learned that from my kids last week.
But here's the thing. In the Beetlejuice universe, though, you can't kill the character off because wouldn't he just be a ghost?
Yeah.
What do you do? But you didn't know that he's a freaking pedophile.
Don't kill him off. Just say he ran away for personal issues.
Yeah, there you go. He finally divorced her.
He chased kids through the mountains.
If he lives in your neighborhood, you would know because he would have knocked on your door to tell you he lived in your neighborhood.
Just want to wear my mushy on paperboy, yes.
I didn't hear what he said.
I couldn't either. Just want to wear my mushy on paperboy.
Oh, he's doing Herbert from Family Guy.
Make some good news. Better stretch those creamy hamstrings. I got some popsicles down in the cellar.
Oh,
it's awful hot out today. You can take off your shirt if you want to.
Y'all's on your own, fellas.
I feel isolated now and violated a little bit, but I was gonna talk about WrestleMania, but we did some cool shit last night.
Both of y'all went, didn't you?
We went to AEW Dynamite in Charleston, West Virginia.
Dude, it was a great show. I was very impressed. And we had great seats.
It really was. Free seats are the best seats.
But, I mean, even though they were free, they were great
seats.
They
were really good seats.
I enjoyed it. Not even like – I'm not the big wrestling guy that you are. I'm more of a WWE guy, obviously. And you're more into AEW than I am. But the two shows I've been to Charleston to watch, they were both amazing. I actually like this one a little bit better, even though the other one had CM Punk, but it was still a great show.
And I'm with you. And as we continue this conversation, we got the rookie for the O's up.
Do you know the last player to wear number 7 for the Orioles was?
I have no idea.
Cal Ripken Sr.
Really?
Yes.
All right.
And the Blade Mark Bellinger, which they felt like they should have been retired at that point with him.
Well, so, do you have a prediction for his first young Holiday? What's his first name?
Jackson.
Jackson Holiday.
I think he will go at least 20 home runs and 45 steals this year.
Is this his first at bat?
No, he played last night. He went 0-for-4, but he had an RBI.
See, with all these stupid weather patterns coming in, I can't keep track of any damn games and whatnot. I thought this was his first at bat. I was getting excited. We just happened to be watching it. But
anyway. Yeah, I'd say 20 and 45. I mean, I'm not. I think that's very optimistic, but I think that's what he has the talent to do.
If they got that out of him, they'd be happy.
Batting ninth.
So anyway, back to AEW. The thing that was odd to me, really good show, great wrestling. You guys bailed out a little bit early because they do like 3 shows and they tape 2 of them and do a live show. So we stayed for the whole thing. It was fine. It was over by 11:30. Not that bad. But they did the big reveal of why CM Punk got fired at AEW, and it was pretty underwhelming. It was like the most unnecessary thing. And I just kind of was left with saying, that's it. That's what
you've held it out this long and this is what you've held out. Like
no news.
At this point, you should never even shown it.
Yeah.
It was so underwhelming.
Why? Why did he get fired?
Because
scuffle back door.
He was getting in a little bit of a heated exchange with Luke Perry's son, Jungle Boy Jack Perry, who's a professional wrestler. If you didn't know that.
Did not.
And, I don't know what exactly they said, but basically Perry said to Punk, if you don't like it, do something about it. So Punk did something about it. And that was it. It was a shove and a headlock and some hair pull, and they got separated. And,
lots of hair pull.
You know, the kind of shit that would happen on a Wednesday night anywhere in the 80s on, you know, AWA wrestling or, you know, WCCW, down with the Von Erichs at the Dallas Sportatorium. That stuff probably happened every night. Nobody cried about it, but here it just shuts down the internet now.
It probably still happens. They just wanted to do it, right? It was just this part of the story.
Yeah, that's what they do. They look coming off petty, you know, like they're trying to throw sand. Yeah. Here's WWE coming off the maybe the best WrestleMania.
Arguably, ever. And you'd make a great argument.
You know, when they first started doing WrestleMania on two nights, I hated it.
I did too.
But I also have memories of WrestleMania being like 6 hours long. And we watched the entirety of WrestleMania, Greg and myself, and every match was entertaining. Nothing was bad. Some matches were amazing. The pageantry was phenomenal. The storytelling was great.
For me, not like religiously following every single show week to week and just picking up on what I know, There's probably three or four matches in the whole weekend I didn't have any kind of connection with. But that's over like 2 days, and we're talking about like six, probably 7 hours of entertainment.
I feel like
it was pretty good.
I feel like I could feel that or the storyline, you know, if it's scripted as much as I think it is, felt like Cody winning was probably going to happen.
But we felt that before, and they didn't do that.
Chad was pissed.
Yeah.
My tribal chief lost.
Yeah, he wanted Roman to win again.
Damn shame. But you had some returns. You had in the main event, you know, The Rock came out. John Cena came out.
Cena wouldn't surprise me more than Undertaker, actually.
Well, Undertaker wasn't supposed to come out. So
I didn't hear nothing about Cena either.
Right. They did a good job. And that's the other thing. When they surprise you and you're legitimately surprised.
And he put somebody through a table.
Yep.
Cena did.
He came out and got Roman's cousin, Solo Sikoa, throws him through a table, comes back in. The Rock comes out. They have a face-to-face.
That's the only thing I didn't like about it is that I felt like they sold him short.
Well.
Because they just let Rock put him in a rock bottom.
He went to go hit him. Rock blocked it. Rock bottom, put him down. And then immediately lights go out. You get the bell from Undertaker. Oh. There he is. Choke slams his ass. Lights go out. He gets out. And then Seth Rollins came out too.
Under the Shield.
Yeah. Like it was just like massive chaos. There's a wrestling term that is called a dusty finish. And it's famous from Dusty Rhodes. When Dusty Rhodes was the booker, he really kind of brought to the front that, hey, if we want to protect people, we'll just make a bunch of bullshit happen at the end and nobody will really know like who's better and who's not. It's protecting everybody because nobody gets pinned. This was kind of a dusty finish. They had so many run-ins and so much involvement that you were just like, what's going to happen next? And when it was finally over, you know, there was some relief. The story's been told, but then The Rock comes out on Monday and tells Cody that whether you're champ or not, when I come back, I'm only coming back for you. So, like, again, great storytelling. But The Rock, do you see what he brought in for his participation in WrestleMania? They gave him $10 million of TKO stock.
Well, that's nice of him.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for showing up, boss. Here's another $10
million. Here's your donation to Hawaii.
One match.
That's a sensitive subject for him.
$10 million.
Not his money. Your money.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, so for... I had this whole spiel on The Rock. So I feel like what he's done with this character,
the final boss,
has cemented him in the Mount Rushmore of WWE. That's my opinion. The fact he plays that so well. I mean, because he's always been he was a great in-ring performer. He was a little stiff, but he's old now. So that's fine. But he is so good on the mic and playing the crowd and this improv where he's done so much acting now, he's almost unstoppable. I mean, with the shape he's in, I feel like he is now definitely on the Mount Rushmore. I think this push right here for me would, depending on for me, I would almost start pushing him past Stone Cold. I think Stone Cold for you is probably your number one, but
Stone Cold's always my number one.
I'm just saying, I feel like The Rock's now on at least the top four.
Stone Cold was the biggest name, the biggest draw, the biggest moneymaker at the biggest time in wrestling history. Where are you going for the wasabi piece?
I'm going for the wasabi
piece. I might want a couple after you get your dirty hands in there.
Okay, okay.
But the thing about Austin was, you know, it was that lightning in a bottle. It was over.
No, I agree.
And he was also a benefactor of having amazing rosters to work with.
Oh, yeah.
And he had the best heel in the history of wrestling with Vince McMahon as Mr. McMahon. But The Rock, man, The Rock can turn on a dime. And they bring him back. He's a face. And there's this whole documentary they're going to show where their change of plans happened multiple times because they bring Rock to come in and wrestle Roman. That don't happen because the Cody crybabies and everybody goes, oh, we want Cody and Roman again. And they literally change it. And in the process, they turn the Rock into a heel. And that's where the final boss character comes from. And he just turns into a straight asshole. And yet here you are saying that now it's elevated. Why? Because he can do that.
Like, he plays both sides so well.
Yeah.
You can put him on either side of the storytelling, whatever you feel like you're lacking. He can add that void and fill that void. He's great at everything. Now, like I said, he is stiff in the ring now, but it's okay because he's so good at everything else.
Dude, he's 50.
No, I get it.
45-minute match.
It's not nothing like against him. My point is that he's not as agile because he's so balked up now.
We talked about how, off the air,
you said that he should change his style to do some like power moves.
Exactly.
He's instead of being the agile Rock guy. I mean, and then mix in the people's elbow when you want to.
He was bigger than everybody he got in the ring with this weekend.
Absolutely.
Except for the Undertaker.
Yeah.
He was bigger than all of them.
Yeah.
Like when he came out, when Cena came out, like Cena had his shirt off and The Rock looked a lot bigger than Cena.
He was a lot bigger than Cena.
And Cena's not in bad shape.
No, because when you see Cena in these movies, he's like dwarfs everyone else.
Yeah.
And then you put him by The Rock.
It's a different scale.
I agree. So to me, but I'm just telling you, I think Rock, to me, for his overall contribution to the sport and what I think is going to happen for the next 3 to 5 years, he's definitely in the top four.
He is in charge. Well, he's not in charge, but he's on the board of directors too. So like his hands are all over the industry. And for him to get started there, to leave and come back multiple times, it's got to be like a drug for these guys, man. Yeah. Like once you do it, there's not like, imagine that. Like you're a movie star. Make a million. Batista did the same thing.
Yeah.
Like they want to come back and they want to get that feeling one more time.
But is that a fair assessment that he should be in the conversation for Mount Rushmore?
I think he's always been there, but
it cements it, right?
People don't want to put him there because I guess in the ring he wasn't like elite, but he wasn't bad.
No, I think this cements it just like this as well as when Tom Brady won Super Bowl in Tampa Bay. I think this just is the final nail in the coffin that says that's where you're at.
I think there's more nails coming.
I do too.
Because they done set up a future. I mean, what happens if WrestleMania is The Rock and Cody next year?
It will be.
You know how big that'll be?
It's clearly good. That's what it's going to be.
And there ain't going to be no Cody crybaby saying they don't want it. Everybody's going to want it. And it's going to be massive.
Cody will win next year.
And you know what they're doing the whole time they're doing this? They're making a star. Did you know that Cody Rhodes sold more merchandise over the weekend than any wrestler has sold an entire week in the history of the company?
I would have never guessed that because I found him kind of boring.
But
yeah, I didn't see that coming.
I'm not obviously not in Camp Cody, but I get it. He's a white meat baby face he's like an 80s, champ. You know what I mean? Like
he don't bring enough for me to be captivating for me. Like, I mean, but that's fine. I'm not everybody's flavor.
But his whole career has been based on the fact that, his dad was overlooked and he was overlooked and they're trying to create this legacy. And now that you've done it, though, where do you go from here?
Exactly. Some people are better with the chase.
His dad was so much more flamboyant.
He was, absolutely. Even his brother.
Go watch some Dusty Rhodes. We saw him wrestle last night.
Yeah.
Old Dustin Rhodes. However old he is,
busted open.
Had a great match with Samoa Joe.
50, right?
Yeah,
55 maybe.
But he out there putting work in.
He busted open, bleeding everywhere. But I've always felt like that. Most people know him as Goldust, but he was very good in the ring and a great performer. Like he was great in his character.
Yeah,
for what it was,
he just didn't have the look. That was right. That's what held him back. Cody's built like an Abercrombie and Fitch model.
Is it? Yeah, I agree.
Dustin.
He kind of likes the personality.
Dustin was portly, and he wore that full bodysuit when he was Goldust, and it kind of fit the character. But, now he's probably in better shape now than he ever was when he was Goldust, which is crazy.
Watching him play or wrestle the way he did last night, like, it makes me wonder because he is a big guy. People don't realize how big Dustin Rhodes is. As far as height wise,
he's probably 6'5", I'd say.
But like, he could have been in one of those, like, the same circles as like Bradshaw. because like that's a pretty good comp because they're probably around the same height. Like he could have been in that same circle.
He could have been a big brawler, right? Bruiser type.
Because he well, I don't know why they made him like say you're Goldust for the rest of your life.
Well, it's hard to break a gimmick when it gets over.
I know.
And it got over, and it didn't matter who you put in a feud with Goldust, he could get under everybody. He was like Rodman. He was the Rodman version of wrestling. He's never going to be your leading scorer, but man, he helped stuff the stat sheet. And that's
dude, and his intro was out of control because he's like always in character.
Marlena.
Yeah.
Well, Terry Reynolds.
Uh-huh.
I love some. I think she's the opposite in size. I think she's like 4'3".
I think so.
She's not very big, but
I might see her at midget wrestling.
What?
Might see her at midget wrestling.
I don't know. Maybe she could do that. Maybe that's more her speed. These wasabi peas are pretty good.
Greg doesn't like the wasabi.
Nah,
peas.
He don't like licking 9-volt batteries. I can't tell if he went up to the house or if he was checking the flood water.
Checking to see if there's any tornadoes out there.
Yeah, not yet. Sounds like he's digging gravel. Anyway, the other thing I wanted to talk about, why I got you wonderful gentlemen here this evening, is that I didn't watch very much of the Final Four. Did you?
I watched a little bit of the Final Four.
Now, wait, let's start. Are we talking men or women?
I watched more of the women's.
But apparently, everybody else did too.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm pretty sure GFR wants in on this one.
That was the highest rated college basketball game since, what, 2017, they said?
The highest rated women's game ever.
Well, yeah. But is this going to be the new norm now? Like, is this going to happen again? Or because it feels like the men's game hasn't been as good. And I feel like the men's game is suffering from the transfer portal. I'm sure the women's is too, but like college basketball hasn't been as enjoyable for me the past couple of years.
No, it hasn't. And she was the biggest star of the men's and women's. I mean,
oh, hands down, I would say, in the girls' side, they probably had the three biggest stars versus the men's side.
Yeah. Yeah.
With Beckers, Angel Reese, and Caitlin Clark.
An old girl from South Carolina.
Well, South Carolina, you probably just say the whole damn team.
No, but they have a girl that was a top recruit like those other three.
Well, everybody said, but the thing is, South Carolina, and this is why they're undefeated, everybody was getting excited because Caitlin Clark, you know, yeah, well, South Carolina's got like five of them, so good luck. You know, but they just shared the ball so well. What, they went by 15 or something?
Iowa got up early.
Yeah.
And it looked like they were going to run away with it. Then it went back and forth a little bit. And South Carolina pulled away in the fourth.
The men's game was about 15.
Yeah. I'm telling you right now,
men's game wasn't even really close.
Anybody that followed women's college basketball, which I know I'm not saying anybody here did, but
I do not.
The fact of the matter is that South Carolina was a higher seed than Iowa heading into that championship game. So they were undefeated. They went 109-3 in the last three seasons.
They go 39-0 this year?
Yes.
That's incredible.
With Dawn Staley, great WNBA player as their head coach. She's starting a program down there, and you can tell. So I feel like in regards to men's and the women's, I feel like the women's side, the coaches and the players are a little more loyal from the transfer portal perspective than the men's, which is why now we've been more endeared to them in this tournament. For me, the men's, I stopped watching after Sweet 16, to be honest, and I watched every single round of the women's.
That says a lot. I mean, I can't believe I'm saying this, but like the women's game, it flows better. They play better defense, it seems like. I mean, I thought I saw better defense out of the games I watched. And I mean, you felt electricity watching the games. And with the men's, it was just kind of flat, and you didn't have stars. You can't tell me who the biggest stars of the tournament were.
I just know it's that white center for Purdue.
Yeah, Edie.
There you go.
Who can't get NIL money because he's Canadian. Did you know that?
I did not. That sounds like a ripoff.
Didn't know that.
Work visa, can't get it. Sorry, bud.
He's going to get paid soon.
He don't fit today's game, though.
No.
At all.
He's not. What do you think his NBA career looks like? It's Bol Bol, right?
More of a role player than a compliment. Maybe like a Lopez.
No.
Get out of here.
That's insulting. Lopez is completely rechanged his game.
The other Lopez.
Oh, the what's his name?
Sideshow Bob.
Yeah. Is that Robin Lopez?
Robin's the Sideshow Bob. Brooke is the.
I don't think this Edie guy is quick enough to be in the NBA. He looks like Big Country Reeves.
Hey, Shaq used to have problems with Big Country.
Yeah, there's no Shaqs in the league. Everybody now is like 100 pounds less than him. Or
you
200
think,
probably.
You think if you had a Shaq, it would work in today's game?
I think it would if the team played it right.
The thing is, most of the big men now are trying to shoot the three.
No, I'm just saying Shaq would dominate in today's game if the coach played to his strengths.
You would almost have to have defense over offense in that setup.
Yeah.
Like your perimeter players need to be hella defenders.
Yeah.
Because you're going to play possession ball. You're slowing the game down. You're playing with tempo.
No, but think about it. Think about it like this. That Lakers team that had Kobe, you had Robert Horry, Shaq. Who was the Derek Fisher? It wasn't like Fisher and Fox and whoever the hell else was there couldn't knock down threes, and Kobe as well. They just didn't play that way. And then imagine every three you miss, which I get it. It's going to be a longer rebound because it's a shooting from out there, but Shaq's going to gobble up everything down there.
They did lose to the Pistons though.
I get it.
I don't know. I'm just saying I'm not convinced one way or the other, but I would love to see somebody try. But I don't think Edie is that guy to try with.
No, I think he's too slow. And I don't think he has enough inside skill to be a center in the NBA.
I'll be surprised if his career is better than Greg Oden's. I'm just saying it.
No, I agree with that. I'm right there with you.
Like, where is former college basketball player of the year Oscar Tshiebwe right now?
I think he's what, overseas? Europe?
I don't know.
Scandinavia, maybe?
I think he's like a 12th man in the NBA. I could be wrong.
I think he's in California Penal League.
Too, with Wild Thing Ricky Vaughn.
Yeah.
California Penal League. I wonder if they – I bet that basketball rec league would be sick out there.
It would be amazing. I think it would. Are you all right, Mongo?
Yeah.
You're just kind of soaking in our conversation. It's kind of creeping me out.
Yeah,
you can. we got through Green Bay and he didn't want to talk anymore.
No, I'm good. I'm good to talk. So
we've summoned him.
Don't make him, Chad.
We're talking about the women's game. We know who's going number one overall in the draft. Can you tell me who's going number one overall in the NBA draft?
Not this year.
No.
I could last year just because of Wimbiana, but that was it.
I could tell you probably the top four in the WNBA.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Wow. So is that marketing?
I don't think so. I think it was just the – what I'll be curious to see, is it a flash in the pan, or are there stars that we're going to see step up because of this?
I personally think that in the women's game that if you – with today's social media, that if you do what you do and you develop yourself and you market yourself, you're going to be very successful. And you're going to be more successful as a woman if you stay in the same program because the following isn't as big. But if you establish that, like, that superstar status with that program, you're going to get way more money. Whereas these blue-chip prospects with the NBA players, they're going to bounce all over the place because they don't care. But, like, it's a different level when you get the WNBA and get paid because it ain't the same as the NBA.
Do you see the stat on Trey Mitchell, who's at UK, used to be at West Virginia. He's transferred four times. And the year that he joined a program, their head coach was fired or dismissed every time.
That makes sense.
So
I think it's bullshit.
You're talking about that loyalty. The John Calipari thing, like with Kentucky, like his press conference was amazing. And I 100% believe everything he said, but he was like, I think you just need a different voice here. I don't think I'm the guy anymore. On his exit presser.
Oh.
Yeah. He's
really?
Like, you know, we spent a lot of time here, but I think Kentucky needs somebody else. I think you guys need a different voice because everybody's like, why'd he go to Arkansas? You know?
What was the answer to that? Why Arkansas?
Well, I think it's one of those things. This is what Biggie and I were talking about was, you know, it's kind of like the Ryan Day situation in Ohio State. Like, you can go 11-1 and they want to fire you, you know? And like, Kentucky's always good. They haven't had good success in the tournament lately, But they're always a tournament team.
They're always there.
They're always there. And, you know, California's won a title with them, but it's been like 11 years. Doesn't seem like it's been that long, but he's been there for a minute. So he just kind of was like, I think it's the same kind of thing that some of the coaches retired for. Like, they don't want to deal with this anymore. And if you're at Kentucky, you're dealing with the highest level of this. Like, would you consider them a top three college basketball job?
No. Not
really.
Not anymore.
Who would you put ahead of Kentucky?
I put Duke ahead of them.
Okay.
I would also put
is UConn one now?
I think UConn's right there.
I think UConn's there.
Yeah.
I'm telling you right now, don't sleep on Baylor because their head coach didn't even want to go to Kentucky.
But Kentucky is still a better job than Baylor.
I'm just saying, but like, he knows maybe he's got a good where he's at.
Right.
And I remember one Baylor championship in my lifetime.
Well, they won.
I would say Kentucky's
won the basketball
top,
couple.
That's the only one.
Sure. Top five for sure.
All right. So,
but it's fallen a little bit.
Well, I think what helps it fall right now is when you have a Hall of Fame coach in Calipari and he's like leaving because of you. You know, that's like a death knell for a lot of programs. And you know, the team he went and met with, the team at Arkansas. One player.
That's all they have?
That's all they have. Everybody transferred.
Holy hell. You think they can be like, can we come back? I'm re-transferring to Arkansas.
Do you think he wants him? No. Calipari's going to be able to go get who he wants.
I know.
I mean, he's still a good coach. But it's weird to do that in conference like that. But it's just,
yeah.
But that's how much the college basketball game has changed on the men's side. Like, that's just normal.
What was old dude's name that last coached there in Arkansas that I remember that?
Nolan Richardson.
Oh, yeah. So, like, I don't feel like Arkansas has been consistently good since then. And I feel like he knows that he's a basketball god at the college level. If he goes to Arkansas, you're not going to have as much pressure because you're like, you're just glad to have him. Right? Whereas Kentucky's like championship bust. These guys are like, get us to the tournament.
It's kind of like when Bob Huggins came back to West Virginia.
Yeah.
Well, you can do no wrong. We're just happy we have this type of coach.
Apparently, he's a candidate for Kentucky, but I don't see that happening.
No chance.
No chance for me.
No chance.
Tino's in there as well.
Do you think Huggins will get hired?
I don't know. I think if he did, it wouldn't be Division One.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, Division One in basketball is so big, though. It just wouldn't be a major conference. You know, because like Patino, when he came back, he went to Iona.
Right.
Technically Division One, right, but who cares? It's Iona. But they said he might come back to Kentucky.
I saw that.
I mean, if I was Kentucky, I'd be okay with that, I think. Why not?
You knew who else DeMarcus Cousins put in the ring for it.
Boogie ready to coach?
No, Rajon Rondo.
Oh, I thought you said DeMarcus Cousins.
He endorsed him.
Put his name in.
No, he endorsed Rondo. Oh,
so he volunteered. Does Rondo know this?
I don't know. I think Rondo's playing overseas probably.
And he's like, no, he'd be a good
I don't think he's got a telegram yet.
I forgot Rondo played at Kentucky.
Yep.
Seems like a million miles away.
Him and AD, right?
No.
The same were
they?
Time.
No. Yeah, they both were there. But AD, remember it wasn't even AD. It was the Davis twins.
Yeah.
What happened to the other one?
I don't know.
Just gone. John Wall was their big stud there for a minute.
Remember that.
Who was the guy from Huntington that played in Huntington?
Patrick Patterson.
Yeah.
Yeah, he played in the NBA for a minute.
Long time.
Yeah. Good role player.
I'd say, 6 to 8 years?
Yeah, sounds about right. Probably like a 5-2.
OJ Mayo, he played for, at least 10 years?
He got on that purple drink.
Yeah.
That ruined him.
I know.
That booty sweat. A booty sweat.
Yeah, that too. Did you've heard the story about OJ Mayo at Michael Jordan's basketball camp, right?
I have not.
Think so, but tell me a reminder.
So it would have been when he was a senior. So if you guys don't know who OJ Mayo is, OJ Mayo, this is when they had the one and done rule. So he had to go to college.
He was drafted by the Grizzlies.
Went to USC, right?
1 year at USC, and then he went to the NBA. So he was at 18. You know, you're talking about a guy that, if not for this rule, would probably have gotten drafted in the NBA. So he goes his senior year of high school, which him and Patrick Patterson were on the same high school team.
Right, West here Virginia. In Huntington.
Yeah.
That was fair.
Unheard of.
They murdered everybody. They were throwing passes off the backboard in the state title game and stuff. But anyway.
Fast break.
Anyway, speaking of fast breaks, that damn Bulls one. Is that a microcosm of a Bulls fan?
Why?
The fast break? Come on.
What are you talking about?
Have you seen the Chicago Bulls fast break thing they screwed up the other day?
No, I haven't seen it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
I haven't watched it.
Just a microcosm of what it is to be a Bulls fan. They have a 3-on-1. Or three. Is it 3-on-1 or 3-on-none?
None.
3-on-none. And the dude throws it off the backboard to himself. But then the guy running behind him thinks it's for him. So they both go up for the ball at the same time.
Running into each other.
And it just goes flying out of the rim. You didn't see that?
No, I try not to watch it.
One of them's on the ground.
Fantasy's over. I don't watch it anymore.
It's amazing. So they didn't do it as good as Patrick Patterson and O.J. Mayer did. But anyway.
It's so bad it made it on regular news, yes, not even sports news.
Shacked in a Fool was trending on Twitter with that one. So anyway, whenever he was a senior in high school, he goes to Michael Jordan's basketball camp. And, you know, he's chirping a little bit. So they close the gym. And, you know, he's like, all right, young blood, let's go. We'll stop the camp right now. And, you know, you show everybody who you are. And they went and played one-on-one. And retired Jordan wore his ass out in front of all these kids. Like, just this old man just murdered him. And that was it. And a lot of people feel like O.J. Mayo lost all his momentum after that point because there was like, yeah, he ain't nothing. It's Jordan. But, like, Jordan's in his early 50s probably at this time. Right.
This is well past his Wizard days.
Yeah. He's on the basketball camp, and he's just like, you're the number one draft pick? Please.
He ended up not going number one, didn't he?
No, he went like 6 or 7.
That game got out, he dropped.
I don't even know if USC made the tournament that year. I feel like that was bad. I don't know. But yeah. I don't know how true that is. I don't know if there's any video of this or not, but that was the O.J. Mayer Michael Jordan interaction. But oh, man. All right. So do we leave anything out? What else happened this past week? Good Lord.
It's been a busy week.
It has been. We talked about WrestleMania. We talked about the Eclipse. We talked about
OJ.
That just happened today. I mean, that's what I was saying. There's so many signs of the apocalypse coming. Like, what's next?
Earthquakes in Jersey.
Yeah. I have people taking batting practice at Yankees.
Oh, here we go.
Uh-oh.
Oh. Flash flood warning. No tornado.
See, it don't even. It's not even. We still have the garage open. We've been just chilling. The weather caused a delay in the Masters today. The Masters kicked off, and this is the first major Tiger Woods is in since he last played in the Masters. So my question is, do you think Tiger Woods makes the cut?
I like that you asked that question rather than do you think he has a shot.
Shot. He's not. No.
No.
He's not even close to being
Tiger Woods of old. No.
Yeah. No. He's done. He's out there playing with plastic hips now.
Yeah.
But the Masters is his course. That's his baby.
I don't think he makes the cut on this one, but he does. He does in a major. He's going to do well in majors later this year.
He's going to make the cut in honor of Chubbs.
That could happen.
Yep.
He's I think he's even par after Thursday, but that's did you see the menu prices for the Masters?
It looked pretty good to me. It's lower than I expected.
Dude, you could spend $10. Now, I think they probably make some money, you know, doing some other things like it is a country club and whatnot, but they have the best prices. Like, where else can you go in the world of sports and get anything close to what you can find there? I'm trying to pull the menu up. I just had it.
So while you're looking for that, I actually stayed in the hotel all the players usually stay in. There's a big convention center and
back up in Green Bay.
No, and Augusta.
Masters. Oh, okay. Yeah. Making sure I'm following along
on another adventure
south.
Yeah, the downtown area is not very big.
So have you had any interactions with him staying there?
No.
Look, I'm Mongo. You need to talk to me.
Respect him.
Oh.
A couple years ago, I was there.
Big fly for the Orioles.
Probably about 3 weeks before the Masters.
Hmm. It is, to me, the most visually appealing golf course outside of Pebble Beach because Pebble Beach is on the ocean. That's pretty badass. What's the baseball stadium that we see every now and then floating around that's like
on I don't know what it is, but it's on like a cliff on the beach.
Like, it's got to be California.
No idea, but yeah.
Like, that is amazing. That one?
Yeah, yeah.
That it's probably not real. No, it's like San Diego somewhere.
It had to be right there.
And San Diego.
And then the other one I love is Appalachian State, their baseball.
Yeah, that's correct. Where you see that beautiful field and the fall foliage.
Have you seen that, Mongo?
Mm-hmm.
That's
gorgeous.
That's amazing.
Gorgeous.
All right, well, we'll close. I need to know what you would spend your $10 on. You got $10 in your pocket. You're scratching at you. We're not going to do tax or anything like that. Just $10. Here's what you can get for sandwiches. You can get an egg salad or a pimento cheese sandwich for $1.50. The rest are $3. Pork barbecue, Master's Club, chicken salad on honey wheat, ham and rye, ham and cheese on rye, classic chicken. They even got breakfast, $2 coffees, $2 chicken biscuits, $3 breakfast sandwich, $1.50 blueberry muffin, $2 for some mixed fruit. And then all your drinks are $2. Unless you get alcohol, it's all $5. And then they even got some snacks. I don't know what this is, but Georgia pecan caramel popcorn. I've never had that before. That sounds amazing, though.
Definitely try it.
And then they have some Georgia peach ice cream sandwich for $2.50.
That sounds amazing.
So what would I'll let you look at the menu, Greg. What would you spend your $10 on? You're at the Masters. It's a nice balmy day.
All right. So I'm going to get an egg salad and a pimento cheese. Now I'm only $3 in. Okay.
That's a good move. I like that.
All right. Because I feel like you need to try each. I'm going to go with the ham and cheese on rye.
Mm.
So now I'm at $6. All right.
It's unbelievable.
I'm going to go with.
You're going to steal a dollar out of the tip jar and get you a beer.
No, sir. No, sir.
What about that barbecue? I thought somebody was barbecuing.
I'm at $6, correct?
You're at $6.
So, I'll tell you what I got to do, fellas. I want that Georgia Peach ice cream sandwich for $2.50, and now I'm down to $1.50. So I guess
tip.
Give me no tip.
Play a little
I'm
game.
I'm gonna get a blueberry muffin and give it to a homeless man.
Oh, and then he'll be like, "I said a dollar, bitch."
Exactly.
All right, Mongo. Let's see what's appealing to you.
I've heard good things about like the pimento cheese sandwich.
It does have their logo next to that menu item. You know how menus, they try to highlight their shit they like.
What if I just went wild and was like, I'm just going to get 6 pimento cheese sandwiches.
I think that is within the realm of reason. As long as you do some element of Scooby stacks where you multiple.
I would have done like the Tudors thing where you would do like half egg salad and half pimento, but then that's still a solid way to go. But
you only spent $3 on those sandwiches, so what if you just put one on top of the other?
It's true.
Be pissed if I got that and it was like just the triangle.
Yeah.
Whatever this Masters beer is, I would have to try that. I'm kind of a beer connoisseur.
Yeah, so that one's
$5, bro.
Yeah. So I would do that. I would do the barbecue and the pimento cheese, and that's going to take me up to $9.50.
There you go. All I know is two things are going to happen. Greg's going to have a bunch of food, and you're going to look at him and go, damn it, he's got a lot more than I got. But he's going to have the beer, and you're going to look at him and go, damn it, but he's got a beer.
Man, it's hot out, and that beer looks good.
Nah, I'm just going, if I have to, I'll drink the pond water.
You'd probably feel something after drinking that. Just look out for the alligators down there.
I chose the Georgia Peach ice cream sandwich over a drink.
I mean, that's got to get you hydrated a little bit, maybe. Yeah. It's just frozen liquid.
Yeah. I'll probably look for a water fountain, to be honest.
Yeah, free water. All right, well, I think that takes us to the end of the night, fellas. Mongo's on his pursuit of NBA Jam glory. How far have you made it through the teams?
I think I'm about halfway through.
So you've gotten that far?
I think so.
All right, well, we're rooting you on. Do you have any inspiring music or anything you'd like to play as you continue your climb to the top of the mountain?
The tiger.
You're a basic bitch. I just want you to know that.
No.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, this has been another episode of the We Don't Know Sports Podcast. Thanks for letting us invade your ears. Make sure you subscribe wherever you get your podcast, and we'll see you next time. Enjoy the week and watch out for tornadoes. Bye-bye.